Everyone, welcome to the BTC Top Rope Talk Podcast, Episode 11, the podcast after WrestleMania weekend. It was a long weekend, filled with some good shows and some not good shows. It's four of us today, but Aaron is gone, and if you listen to this podcast regularly, you should know that's not a shock at this point. It's me, Matt, Ashton, say hello.
Good.
Travis.
Chris is hello.
And our special guest, Ashley, is back this week.
Hi. How you doing?
Yeah, she's back for the first time since the show after the Rumble, I believe. We're going to try to just pound through this as fast as possible. That was the wrong usage of the word pound, but... I watched the last two show, I watched the last match of Impact versus Lucha Underground. Alberto El Patron no-showed that show, and then no-showed WrestleCon the next day, so he has been fired from Impact. The main event was supposed to be Austin Aries and Rey Fénix versus Pentagon and Alberto El Patron. It turned into a triple threat between Austin Aries, Pentagon, and Fénix, and... it was a really good match. I gave it 3.5 stars. It was very short. Obviously, the dude no-showing kind of had them scrambling for making a new match, but they did very well with what they did. Pentagon is a really, really talented wrestler. Fénix is really talented. Aries, we all know how good Aries is. Pentagon won the triple threat match, and that was all I caught of Impact versus Lucha Underground. If Aaron was here, he watched the whole show, so... Super Card of Honor. I watched the whole thing. We'll just talk about the last three segments here because that's all that's worth talking about. This show really wasn't good. It was way too long on a show that, or on a weekend that already has a 7-hour WrestleMania. And if Omega and Rhodes was anything special, I might have a different opinion, but it was not a good match. So, the segment that was the most entertaining for me was Bully Ray and Cheeseburger. So Cheeseburger was supposed to be in a tag match, and his tag partner got attacked. And Cheeseburger was pleading for Bully Ray to be his tag partner one night after Bully Ray got inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And Bully Ray took off his shirt and everything and was ready to be his tag partner and come out of retirement for a night, when all of a sudden he chokeslammed Cheeseburger. And who came out? I forgot, Ashton. Who came out to save Cheeseburger? Do you remember?
Someone who left out Cheeseburger.
Shoot, I forgot who. Whoever came out to save him. Bully Ray started getting on the mic and being his usual Bully Ray heel self, and started saying that he'll pile drive Cheeseburger, and so that the Louisiana Athletic Commission will cancel the show before Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes takes place, and that was really funny. He never did pile drive him, by the way, but that was a really fun promo. Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes was the first match of a co-main event. I expected a lot more. I really did. I gave it 3.25 stars. It just wasn't... it wasn't anything special at all. Kenny seemed like he was stuck on neutral the whole time. Honestly, if Cody was the best thing about this match, if Cody wasn't as good as of a heel as he was, this would be nothing more than an average match. And I'm barely saying it's good at best. Finish of this match was the Young Bucks going to super kick Cody. Cody ducked, they nailed Kenny, and then Cody hit Crossroads on Kenny for the victory. So, yeah, just not a good match. Barely.
I will say it was dramatic at the end, though.
It was. Yeah, I'll agree with there. It was. I don't know.
Try to like tell Kenny to kick out.
Yeah.
Because that was a really good shot. That even made it on the beat one to the show.
Yeah.
On a YouTube show. So.
Yeah. Being the Elite episode 100 took place or is on YouTube now. It's seemingly the last episode of the Being the Elite for at least a while. So. Go ahead and watch that. It was a really good episode. Kind of tied everything together, but there is still some loose ends if they want to continue it. So, yeah. On to the second part of the co-main event. Dalton Castle defended his Ring of Honor World Championship against the villain Marty Scurll. To me, this was a dead-ass recreation of Will Ospreay versus Marty Scurll at Sakura Genesis. Except instead of the out-of-nowhere Ospreay cutter for the win, it was the out-of-nowhere Bangarang for the win for Dalton Castle. The match was like 10 minutes too long and just wasn't all that great either. So I don't know. Supercard of Honor really just kind of had a bad feel in a lot of people's mouths. One show I did watch that no one else did was Joey Janela's Spring Break this weekend. It featured my third favorite match of the weekend, a match that I never thought I would expect to have as the third favorite match of the weekend. Walter took on PCO. For those who do not know PCO, he's a former WWF Tag Team Champion in the 90s. He is now 50 years old. This man took an insane amount of chops from Walter. Walter is already known as probably the heaviest chopper in the indies. And PCO took at least 30 chops in this match until his chest looked just black and blue and bleeding. PCO, at 50 years old, did a moonsault to the outside where he broke his nose. Did a split-legged moonsault inside the ring where he damn near killed himself. This was just the perfect clusterfuck of a match that was just so exciting and just so fun to watch. And just watching this 50-year-old go out and kill it with one of the hottest dudes on the indies right now, and Walter, was really awesome. PCO actually won that match with a moonsault off the top rope, so it was really fun to watch. And if you haven't, go out of your way, it's on fight.tv. You can sign up for free and get a free $15 credit to watch Joey Janela's Spring Break. It was a very fun show. Probably my second favorite part of that show was an invisible man winning the clusterfuck match that Joey Janela put on. So with that being said, let's get into the big shows. Let's get into the reason that everyone goes to WrestleMania weekend, the WWE shows. NXT TakeOver New Orleans was the best show of the weekend, by far. The most complete takeover of all time. A show that, in the end, when Meltzer's ratings come out, will probably have 2 5-star matches. Let's talk about the ladder match that kicked off the show for the NXT North American Championship. Adam Cole versus EC3 versus Killian Dane versus Lars Sullivan versus Ricochet versus the Velveteen Dream. A ladder match produced by Shawn Michaels and Michael Hayes, and it was fan-frickin-tastic. Any of you guys have any thoughts on this ladder match that Adam Cole walked out of as North American Champion?
It was definitely the match of the night, if not, for me, one of the top three matches of the weekend.
Single-handedly the greatest ladder match I've ever seen. Being so serious. Sure, I've watched Michaels and Razor. I've watched the Dudley Boys and the Hardys and Edge and Christian, but brought it a whole different level. And they put some things into that match I haven't seen before in a ladder match, so I'm gonna say that was the match of the night for me.
Very, very, very good match. I fully expected to get 5 stars. If you're looking for another great ladder match from over this weekend, the Young Bucks took on the Addiction in a ladder match at Supercard of Honor, and that was the best match on the show over there. I forgot to mention that match. That was a very good match, but it did not hold a candle to this match. A lot of crazy spots. The Velveteen Dream doing his Purple Rainmaker elbow from the top of a 20-foot ladder. Ricochet being Ricochet at a lot of points. The springboard shooting star presses to the outside. Lars Sullivan played the heel very nicely. Him and Killian Dane had a couple of fun spots, one where they threw Ricochet around like a boomerang. EC3, just being EC3 in general and being the man who absorbed the most damage in this match and almost died at a couple points, I thought. So it was a very fun match. EC3 did get cut up. Lars Sullivan was bleeding from his ear at one point, so a couple people came away with some battle scars, but nothing that Nothing that
EC3 should be dead.
Yeah, that's EC3. Yeah, I genuinely agree. That boy took so much damage that I thought his steroid riddled body would just pop. No offense to EC3, but
yeah.
No offense to EC3, but we all know he's using. Ember Moon defended her NXT Women's Championship against Shayna Baszler. A much better match than their last one. Much better match. I gave this one 3 3/4, personally. Very cool spot as Shayna Baszler won the NXT Women's Championship. They kind of almost did a double turn in this match. Ember Moon was the one attacking Shayna Baszler's arm for most of this match. Leading to the point that when Baszler locked in that Coquina clutch submission, that she had to use her hair to like kind of use as a base to kind of lock the submission in. It was really a cool finish, and much better than the last finish where Ember Moon survived an armbar for 5 minutes. But yeah, Shayna Baszler is your new NXT Women's Champion. Any thoughts on the match?
To me, it was probably the lowest match on the card, but it was still a really good match.
Yeah.
I think it was story builder for Shayna, because I think she deserves about 10 more toughness points for that damn spot where she literally pounds her fucking shoulder into the ring post.
Yep, that was my favorite spot, too. Just awesome.
And puts it in place. I mean, kayfabe, I'm pretty sure her shoulder's fine, but
yeah.
You know, the balls to do something like that is, like, not even trying to be sexist, but especially for a woman to do that, that is crazy, because men don't even try to do that. So, good job on their part. That gave a lot of story to it. I thought it was going to be a double turn, because I was looking and I was like, I kind of want Shayna to win now, because if she's going to that length to win the NXT Women's title, then she deserves it, but I mean, you know how the match ended up. She's the champ anyway, so I think it was a good match. Obviously not the best on a card like NXT TakeOver New Orleans, of course. I mean, that card was just absolutely stacked. I wasn't disappointed in the show, so it was just a really good match for Shayna to put under her belt. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, agreed. Triple threat for the NXT Tag Team Championships and the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Finals. Adam Cole defended under Freebird rules with Kyle O'Reilly as the Undisputed Era took on the Authors of Pain, Akam and Rezar, along with the team of Roderick Strong and the UK champion Pete Dunne. They took Adam Cole out early with a table spot as he had just gone through the second longest match in NXT history, which was that ladder match. Obviously, the big spot of the match, Pete Dunne hit the bitter end on Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong breaks up the pin at two by stomping the living hell, just a jumping stomp that just killed Pete Dunne. Strong gave him the end of heartache, flipped over Kyle O'Reilly, and put his arm over Pete Dunne's shoulders, and Roderick Strong joins the Undisputed Era as Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly retain the tag team titles. Bobby Fish crutches his way on out at the end as the four of them pose with the Dusty Rhodes trophy. Thoughts on this match? I really enjoyed it.
Match was slow for me. It was really slow in the beginning, but it kind of picked up. Well, okay, it wasn't slow in the beginning because they literally put Adam Cole through a table, AOP, in the beginning, like immediately to start the match. So it wasn't slow at the beginning, but it kind of needed the presence of Adam a little bit more for me to get a little bit more intrigued. But for me, I think Roderick Strong is a great fit for Undisputed Era, so there's no complaints there, but this image that I have in my head all weekend is with almost all the gold in NXT except for the women's in the NXT title literally taking over NXT. So a very good way to put Undisputed Era as the dominant group in NXT, because it's the truth, and they're damn good heels. And I want to hate them, but damn, they're that good to where you're like, damn, they're doing their job that good. So I honestly applaud Undisputed Era. It came all together this weekend. They got so much gold, it's a damn shame. So good job on their part. But I just thought the match was a little bit slow in the middle. But the ending and the plot twist was perfect for me.
I have a question, though. With Roderick turning, does that mean Pete Dunne's a face then? Because I thought he was a heel.
Yes. At Access the next day, Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly defended the tag team titles against Mustache Mountain's Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. O'Reilly and Strong won via cheap heel tactics and beat up Mustache Mountain after the match when Pete Dunne came to save Strong. When Pete Dunne came to save Seven and Bate. Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, and Tyler Bate is the faction British Strong Style in Progress Wrestling over in the UK. So that seems to be the faction that they're building back to, as it looks like Pete Dunne has done a face turn. Yeah.
And another question. Is Pete Dunne defending the UK title at the Greatest Royal Rumble or no?
No. Leo Rush won the Access tournament for the UK title and lost to Pete Dunne later that day at Access, the day of WrestleMania. But yeah, he's not defending at the Greatest Royal Rumble. Seven titles are being defended. Here's what the seven titles are. The WWE title, the Cruiserweight title, the Universal title, Raw Tag Team title, SmackDown Tag Team title. What am I missing here? Intercontinental title. And I feel like I'm missing one more. I don't think they're defending the United States one, though.
They are.
Yeah. But Randy Orton's match is at Backlash. So I don't know who
I think the Greatest Royal Rumble.
No.
And the U.S. title, I think, is a triple threat.
I know they said Mahal and Orton is specifically at Backlash, so.
Mahal, Orton, and Rude, I think, is a triple threat for the U.S. title.
No. Then why did they go through that triple threat match? Whatever. The Saudi oil money. Okay, whatever. it's a glorified house show. Why make any sense of it? NXT Championship match. Andrade Cien Almas came out with Zelina Vega to defend his NXT Championship against Aleister Black. Very, very, very good match. I gave it 4.5 stars. Very good spot to end the match. Zelina Vega did her tilt-a-whirl DDT to Aleister Black at one point, what she's done to Johnny Gargano and Drew McIntyre in the past. She did that to Aleister Black, and at the end of the match, Zelina Vega was on the top rope to give a crossbody to Aleister with the ref distracted. Aleister ducked. Andrade Cien Almas was behind Aleister and caught her, turned around right into a black mass right to the jaw. Black covered him, and we have a new NXT champion, Aleister Black. Thoughts on the NXT championship match?
Perfect for me. It was exactly what I thought it was going to be. Andrade and Selena trying to cheat their way to keep the title. Obviously, Andrade just being Andrade. And Aleister being ruthless and just calm in his zen or whatever the hell it is. Because that motherfucker stays calm in situations I couldn't stay calm in. But I thought it could have been better. But maybe they dialed it down a little bit. I don't know. But this was the first time I ever saw Aleister Black smile. So,
yeah, that was quite the image.
Yeah, I was like, that's creepy, but kind of good, but kind of creepy. Yeah, I'm going to say creepy. I'm going to stick with creepy, because I've never seen that motherfucker smile ever. So, good for him. He's the NXT champ, well-deserved. Obviously, he's put NXT on his back. So, good for him.
Yeah, agreed.
I like the match. Like Ashton said, I think it could have done better. Could have been more. That's it.
Yeah, I agree. It could have been more. I expected a little more, but with the way the NXT North American Championship went, and with the way the main event went, I think it was just fine that it didn't have to be a third five-star match, you know. It served its place, and it was really good, so I think that's all that could be asked for. It hit its minimum. There's a minimum and a maximum that this match had, and I think it hit its minimum, and that's perfectly fine. Speaking of the main event, the longest match in NXT history at 37 minutes took place here as Johnny Gargano took on Tommaso Ciampa. If Gargano lost, he was banished from NXT forever. If Gargano won, he wins back his NXT contract. I gave this match 5.5 stars. I fully expect Meltzer to give it 5+, whatever he ends up rating it. Meltzer said this was one of the best matches in WWE history, and I fully agree. Fantastic spots throughout the match. Tommaso Ciampa tore up the padding on the outside of the ring at one point to expose the concrete, which Johnny Gargano would later powerbomb him onto that concrete, and that got You Deserve It chance, which was amazing. Gargano threw Ciampa over the announce table to Mamma Mia chance. Johnny broke the orbital socket of Ciampa with his meeting in the middle kick, their old DIY Avada Kedavra kick. Also looked like...
Is that what they called it?
They called it meeting in the middle. It's Seth Rollins used to call it Avada Kedavra on the indies, so that's kind of what I know it as. But
that's Harry Potter, and I thought that was cool. But
Yeah, that's what Seth Rollins used to call that kick on the indies. So... just a very good match. A very good ending where Ciampa was on the ground and Gargano had broke off the crutch that Ciampa had stole from some random fan in the audience. Gargano broke the crutch in two after grabbing it from Ciampa and went to smack it over Ciampa's head, but Ciampa was already in pain, had a broken eye socket, was holding his hand, pleading for him to stop, and Johnny stopped, put the crutch on the ground, sat next to Ciampa. It was a great callback to their Cruiserweight Classic match where they sat on the ground next to each other, and a great callback to when they sat next to each other before Ciampa turned on him. Ciampa feigned getting back with Gargano again before he grabbed his knee brace, went to smack it over Gargano's head. Gargano ducked, locked in the Gargano escape. Ciampa's trying to grab the knee brace, so Gargano locked in an STF variation with the knee brace over Ciampa's head. Ciampa immediately tapped out, and that was the ending to the longest NXT match in history. Thoughts on Gargano versus Ciampa?
100%.
Because I got shit to say, so go ahead.
He said
110% without a doubt was match of the weekend. If not, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say it was probably it'll be match of the year. Top three.
Yeah. Depending on what New Japan does the rest of the year, I definitely so far match of the year.
Definitely.
I don't see a scenario. We'll see if Okada and Omega have another match, but I definitely think it'll last his match of the year. Ashton.
I have multiple things to say. I would like to thank both gentlemen for putting on probably the greatest wrestling match I've ever seen, and that is over Taker and Michaels and Taker and Triple H and over, honestly, I don't know. It's kind of on the standard of Stone Cold and Bret at 13. Like, it's that up there for me. Like, it's that good in storytelling and wrestling-wise, period. Those two gentlemen put it out there, and they tore the house down like they knew they could. And NXT is probably the better counterpart in WWE. Fucking truth. But I'm going to continue and just talk about how good they are. Second off, McMahon, if you ever listen to this podcast, listen to me. There's a certain common denominator in the matches in NXT that are getting 5 stars and are getting called the greatest matches in WWE, not NXT, WWE history. His name is called Johnny Gargano. If you fuck this man over on the main roster, I promise you, he's going to make you suffer for it. If he goes to Impact,
if he goes to New Japan, you really think he's going to stop having five-star matches with the talent that they have there? I promise you this. If you fuck Johnny Gargano over, he is literally probably the next Shawn Michaels. I've never even said that about anybody. Not Seth Rollins, not even Dolph Ziggler, nobody. This thing in my book to Shawn Michaels, because this guy is putting on classic after classic after classic. This is the fourth match that this guy has absolutely taken my head off and put it on New Way. See, absolutely amazing. And if you fuck this guy over because of his stature and his character, which is absolutely perfect for the way he is, then you obviously need to turn it over to Triple H, because there's no way you should fuck this guy over when he's literally putting on classes as a tag team. He's putting on classes as a single competitor. What exactly can you fuck up here? You put him out there at SmackDown, he'll probably get you a five-star match. Yes. So if you honestly fuck this guy over, you lose all respect from me, Vince, period. And that's all I got to say.
Alrighty. As we all said, obviously the most complete show of the weekend. Two call-ups from this show that happened on Monday Night Raw, so we'll talk about those when we get there. It's WrestleMania time. Let's talk about WrestleMania. The WrestleMania 34 card. Let's go through the pre-show here real quick. Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal was the first pre-show match. Matt Hardy won the Battle Royal as Bray Wyatt came into the match and distracted Baron Corbin and Mojo Rawley to the point where Matt Hardy eliminated both of them, and Hardy and Wyatt hugged and became a tag team after the match. So thoughts on Matt Hardy winning the meaningless Battle Royal? It's meaningless, but it was a cool moment, I guess.
I didn't expect Bray to return. I completely forgot they were repackaging him. So that was pretty cool to see. I was kind of shocked. I thought Baron was going to win again, and I was screaming at my TV.
It was a meaningless match for me. I honestly wasn't even paying attention, but I'm kind of glad they're kind of trying to solidify Matt as some kind of singles competitor where he's accomplished a little bit. I mean, he's accomplished before, but I'm glad they're kind of accomplishing the Woken character, so. Yep. Matt, but that's pretty much it. I mean, the match was a little bit silly for me.
Singles competitor, he forms a tag team.
Alright, smart ass. It was a singles accomplishment that he got after the match.
With the help of Bray Wyatt.
That's a shit.
Okay. We'll move on to the women's battle royal. WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal.
You mean the Uterus Battle Royal?
Yeah, the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal, where the winner wins the Uterus Trophy. Raw Superstar won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, so I really should have expected a SmackDown winner. My prediction was Bayley, but once I saw Matt Hardy win, I thought, oh, Bayley's still going to win this, until I should have realized that a SmackDown Superstar will be winning this. They advanced Bayley and Sasha the best they could without either of them winning. Naomi took out Bayley last to win the Women's Battle Royal. So thoughts on Naomi winning, and this is where Ashley can chime in as well if she wants.
It confused me. I don't think it's going to go anywhere in the story. Just like, really, none of the other Andre ones went anywhere with a story. And I was more interested with the there were six NXT superstars, right?
Yeah, there was Dakota Kai, Bianca Belair, Peyton Royce, Kairi Sane. I keep wanting to say Lacey Evans, but I know that blonde girl wasn't Lacey Evans.
Taya Nara or whatever.
Yeah. And
then there's I Am Orange.
Oh, yeah.
That was the best part of the match.
Big chick, cuz. She's huge. Massive. Like, holy shit.
That Indian women superstar that I already forgot the name of. I'd never seen her on NXT TV before, by the way, so beyond me. It's like NXT TV. It's like what?
I don't think she's been on NXT TV. I think she just.
Yeah, it's like when they threw like Bin Wang into the Battle Royale a couple of years ago, or they threw Hideo into the Battle Royale randomly a few years ago. So, I don't know. Yeah. Is Ashley still alive? Ashley, do you have any strong opinions either way on Naomi winning this?
I mean, my favorite part of the match was just Becky screaming, "Orange is my color." So that's my take on the match.
Fair enough. Yeah, that was the second Battle Royal, and then we were done with Battle Royals. Third pre-show match, Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali, Cruiserweight Championship match. Not near the level of their 205 Live match a couple months ago. I expected more. I can say that about another match on this card, but I expected more out of Alexander and Ali, but it was still a really good match, and the right guy won. Cedric Alexander won the Cruiserweight Championship. I'm very happy for him. Very happy that this dude went from being underappreciated in Ring of Honor to getting please sign Cedric Chance in the Cruiserweight Classic to really being underappreciated for a few months there in the Cruiserweight division until he seemed to be poised to get the title 3 or 4 times until Enzo kept getting injured or kept getting fucked up and then got released, so they did this tournament. The right guy won. Cedric's been fucked out of this title too many times. Thoughts on the match?
For me, I really expected it to be probably match of the night, top three matches of the night. It really, not to say that it disappointed me, but it just didn't live up to my expectation.
Agreed.
To be exactly the way it was, because honestly, whenever there's a Cruiserweight Championship match in the pre-show, it's never going to be looked at as a classic or something to look forward to because it's on the damn pre-show. So I think these two deserve to be on the main card, but no, they didn't get that. And especially the way Mania went, they deserved to be on the damn main card.
I'm going to refute this point right here. On the main card, they would have gotten a lot less time. And the way that this match went, I don't think they deserve the main card. I don't know. If they put on the level of the 205 Live match, I really thought they should have been there on the main card. Trust me, I really would have liked to seen it. But the way the match went, and I don't know, I felt like it was in the right spot after the show was over. So that's just my take on it.
Real quick, can I talk?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, what I think Vince has a personal problem with Triple H's, like, chat children, so to speak, like NXT and the Cruiserweight division. Like, he always, because, like, obviously WrestleMania, he's in charge of stuff, right? I agree with you with it being on the main card, it would have probably sucked and had less time, but I also feel like he put it on the pre-show because he's like, oh, it's better than my main roster stuff, or like my...
I see your point, but it's not like Vince didn't not pay attention to 205 Live. He ran the show for a few months. He created my favorite character. He literally created the Drew Gulak PowerPoint character, and that was my favorite character on 205 Live for months. I see where you're coming from, don't get me wrong. It's just, I don't think he has a spite against NXT children. You can see where Kevin Owens is. Kevin Owens is, like, near the top constantly and fucking headbutted Vince McMahon in the skull before. There's guys that don't live up to their potential. Just look at Bo Dallas. He's a former NXT champion, and just look where he is now. But, I mean, I see your point, but I'm kind of refuting it because I think there's more cases of NXT guys succeeding than there's not. So
there's a lot more NXT guys not succeeding than guys succeeding.
I disagree heavily. If you can, Sami Zayn just had a big program with a returning Daniel Bryan.
You can't say
Sami
Zayn, bro.
Sami Zayn is like... No. We're going to argue about Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is not a world champion at this moment in time. And he was a perfect NXT champion at the time. I completely believe that. I've sat here and argued about Apollo Crews getting a better spot before. I think Apollo Crews is a guy who got fucked out of NXT and got fucked on the main roster. But Sami Zayn, with the level of talent that are on both shows right now, I can see Sami Zayn being a world champion one day. Don't get me wrong. And he definitely should have a mid-card reign. But when you're on a match that features the return of Daniel Bryan and has Shane McMahon, and Shane is the boss's son, you're on a pretty damn good spot on the card.
Yeah, you can't really say Sami Zayn, Trav. I mean, Sami has been literally the top storyline, on the top storyline on SmackDown for like 5 or 6 months now. So it's yeah, he's fine where he's at right now. I'm not going to sit here and say he hasn't been succeeding. He's been succeeding as much as he can so far.
Yeah.
As much as
I do think there might be a ceiling to him, but he has really taken this heel role. And I didn't think the heel turn was a good spot for him. I liked the swerve back at Hell in a Cell, but I was like, is he really going to thrive in this situation? Because he was such a good white meat baby face that, you know, people saw him as the next Daniel Bryan. And it was like, is he really going to thrive in this heel situation? And he's done more than thrive in that situation. So that's my opinion. If we're going to look at a guy who got guys who got fucked out of NXT, Apollo Crews is a big one. And,
Tyler Breeze
is another one. Yep.
He got fucked over. Tyler Breeze Neville. Is ridiculously talented.
Neville, even though he was cruiserweight champion.
Neville did not get fucked over.
He kind of did.
He got a long reign as cruiserweight champ. I threw that name out there because I thought he could be a great mid card champ. But he. I do know Vince like Neville. And Vince has been trying to get Neville to come back along with Triple H. But I think there was a lot more to Neville that we haven't seen because he's been gone. You could say Rusev in a sense, but Rusev is a 3-time United States champion. But him being as over as he is right now and not holding a title could be also almost seen as criminal. So I don't... I mean, I guess I just think there's a lot more people that succeed coming out of NXT than not. Seth Rollins is an NXT guy. Roman Reigns was on NXT. Ambrose was never on NXT. So
yeah, he never was. So. He just immediately got shot up. He was supposed to do stuff with McFoley and stuff, but that got scrapped.
Yeah,
so.
Foley didn't get cleared. I would have loved to see that storyline, by the way, that we're talking about it.
That would have been epic. Two crazy fuckers like that going head-to-head, that would have been crazy.
Yeah. Let's talk about the main card. I see your point, Travis. Like, I agree that there are some guys who've really gotten fucked over, Main card, Intercontinental Championship match kicked off the show, a triple threat match between The Miz, Seth Rollins, and Finn Balor. I thought this was the best match of... second best match of the night. I'll give that mixed tag their due. Really good stuff. Really good 15-minute match. Seth Rollins won with the curb stomp on The Miz after. There was a really cool spot in this match where The Miz had the figure four on Finn Balor, and Seth Rollins came off with a huge frog splash on The Miz. Seth Rollins curb stomped to The Miz after he curb stomped Finn Balor's head onto The Miz's back. Just a really cool finish, and Seth Rollins is now a Grand Slam champion. Thoughts on this match? Ashley, you can chime in too whenever you feel like it. Ashley, you're here.
Oh yeah, I forgot I was here.
Here too.
What's going on?
But yeah.
I liked this match. It was my second favorite of the night. We all know my favorite.
Yeah, we do.
I kind of blew up the chat. So I think we know.
Don't worry. You put an atomic bomb in that bitch. I saw so many queens, it's a shame. I would like to say one thing, though. I do not like the internet backlashing at Finn Balor for using his entrance for something way more than just entertaining people. People were being absolute dicks because he wanted to prove a message and send a message with his entrance instead of just entertaining everybody. Instead, he did something to improve everybody. But no, just because you didn't get the demon at WrestleMania, people were acting like dickheads and literally bashing him and calling him gay.
Like, what the fuck is... Okay, what is wrong if he's gay?
The dude's, dude's banging Kathy Kelly. That's, like, the opposite of gay.
Okay, no, the point is, I'm trying to get it.
I know. I just wanted to add that in. Go ahead.
He's gay, and what the fuck is the point? He wanted to put a message out there and help a group that's really been trying to get their message out there, and he helped them even more. He used the token that most people will not use and use it for themselves. He used it on other people. And people are getting on this man because he did that. That's bullshit. I commend you, Finn. You absolutely did exactly the right thing. I appreciate you. I am not a gay man myself. I am not. But I support the group that you helped. They need a voice, and you helped them get a voice some way, somehow, on a very big stage. And I appreciate you for doing that. And whoever downs this man for ever trying something like this and doing it to help somebody, fuck you. You literally are a piece of shit because he helped this group have a voice. And I commend you, Finn. That was absolutely awesome. And then you go out there and you put on a damn good match. So I commend you, Finn Balor. You are a man of you do extraordinary things, like you say.
Completely agree with everything Ashton said there. Do you want to add anything, Travis?
It was a really good match. I was hoping Finn was going to win after the whole Universal title stuff, but he'll have his day.
Yeah. We'll talk Superstar Shakeup after SmackDown 205 Live. I do have a couple ideas that I think would really go far in helping both programs. SmackDown Women's Championship, Charlotte Flair and Asuka, was one of three really shocking decisions on this show. And it wasn't a bad shocking decision now that I didn't think it was a bad one at the time, and I really like it now. Charlotte Flair defeated Asuka's streak once and retained the SmackDown Women's Championship with the figure eight. It was probably my third favorite match. It was a really good match. And I know a lot of us had concerns on its spot on the card, but with the way you saw the crowd just kind of draining as the show went on, I think this was the right spot for the match to go on. So, thoughts on Flair versus Asuka? Let's save Ashley for last on this one, actually. You two can go.
Queen!
Okay, anyone can free fall here.
I think you already know my thoughts on the match. I like the match. I just don't know. I feel like, in my opinion, wasted both Royal Rumble winners. Like, they both won their matches, so
yeah.
Can't argue that.
Is that your sentence? Can't argue that.
I think Asuka should have won. Predictable, but I think Asuka should have won at least. And then I just think they deserve a trilogy, but I guess I think I want too many trilogies these days. I think some matches shouldn't have a trilogy, and a lot of matches should. But I really think these two could build a story, especially since they barely had any story here except for it was a dream match. So, I mean, at the point that it was a good spot on the card, that was absolutely true when the way WrestleMania went. So I can't argue that anymore, but I think Asuka should have won. But also, if anybody could defeat Streak, it's Charlotte.
Yep.
I guess I'm just kind of...
That leaves us with the one woman on this panel that has something to say, has one word to say about this match.
Queen! No, honestly, I've never seen Charlotte go the way that she did in that match. Like, Asuka bought the fucking best out in Charlotte. You can't deny that.
Yep, completely agreed there. Charlotte's best match by far. I wouldn't say it was Asuka's, but it was definitely Charlotte's. Charlotte also had the best spear I've ever seen her give before. Like, it was a fucking spear. And
shit. She did a whole spear. Holy shit.
That was she usually spear. Does those one-arm half-ass spears, but that one was a full fucking spear. That made me get out of my seat a little.
Wow.
It's like Asuka took her out the back and was like, "Now, bitch, don't give me any shit moves. You just the fucking old, give me it all."
The old Mae Young, just lay it in there. But yeah, I liked the decision at the time. I liked the unpredictability of it. I'm pretty sure all of us thought Asuka was going to walk out as champ. But I mean, if there's one person to do it, and I didn't like the Rousey idea at first of Asuka and Rousey next year. Brian Alvarez, I hope your dipshit decision. I hope you're rethinking that as of now. But I really enjoyed this match. I really enjoyed the finish, and I really enjoyed John Cena running to the back with Asuka's shocked face after the match. So, yeah, it all tied together very nice. After this, we got the Fatal 4-Way for the United States Championship. Randy Orton defended his title against Bobby Roode, Jinder Mahal, and Rusev.
Bullshit. Sorry. It was almost stuck in my throat.
Mega bullshit.
Ultra bullshit. Sorry. My bad. It's something stuck really in my throat.
Jinder Mahal is the new United States champion. He pinned Rusev with the Coloss. I'm going to save my answer for last. If any of you would like to discuss the decision of this Fatal 4-Way.
I'm good.
Travis is a huge Rusev mark, by the way. He's slowly dying inside thinking about this. Ashton.
What equation out there? Overman. On SmackDown Live. Merch sold, possibly in the past 3 to 4 months. Not an underrated wrestler. He's a good wrestler. He's not at all. Good look. Killer gimmick. Moment. A match you wasted a WWE title shot on. Now, I'm not going to lie. It was a smart decision to have Jinder win because he is a WWE champion, and it should fit, and it should be okay because he's a former WWE champ, just like Randy. I'm giving Rusev his WrestleMania moment that he has totally deserved. He has totally deserved. But you wasted. So... I'm absolutely pissed. This decision is a shame. That man is over as fuck. He has people at other company shows today, and you wasted it on Jinder Mahal. Man, I'm done.
I add something real quick.
Yes.
With the way Rusev's been on Twitter, he's made it obvious he's not happy with his position in his company. The best thing you could, like, the thing that you want to do to keep him is probably give him a title reign.
They gave him the title shot because of how much merch he was selling. I mean, they specifically changed their plans. It was supposed to be a triple threat match. They specifically put Rusev in this match because of how over he was. You can continue. Just I'll add on to it later.
Two more things. One, if you think about it, Jinder Mahal is halfway to being a Grand Slam champion, and I want to throw up at the thought of that.
Was a tag champ, wasn't he?
Oh.
No, he's WWE and US.
Halfway.
Halfway. He has to win the tag team, then he's halfway.
No, it's WWE, US, Tag, Intercontinental.
All right, continue.
And then the final thing is, we were talking about it earlier, the match, the US title match is Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton at the Greatest Royal Rumble for the US title.
Is it? They specifically said Backlash. What the fuck?
Oh, it's a
yeah, they did say Backlash. It said both, actually.
God damn it.
That's unfair.
That's unfair. That's... Okay, come on now. That's really unfair. Randy shouldn't get two shots. That's crazy.
Oh,
the same weekend, isn't it?
Or what, at is least match? Rusev's getting the Undertaker. Like, man, that's a match. That's good for Rusev. I mean, he's not going to win it, but he's getting it. But, man, I have to sit through that fucking match twice again? Oh, my God. Just bring out the Punjabi prison.
Randy versus Jinder at Backlash last year also?
Yeah, that's when Mahal won the title. We're just coming full circle with this fucking feud.
Oh, that's great.
Just bring out the Punjabi prison. If you're going to put me through pain, at least put me through all of it instead of half-assing it.
I want to hear what the fuck you got to say, Matt, because you're sitting here starting to think about the shit, too, and now you a little bit pissed, too. So I want to hear exactly what you got to say, smartass.
I don't think Jinder winning was a dumb decision, but Rusev should have won.
I didn't say that either.
I think the U.S. title needs to have a heel on it right now, because it's been held by Rude Norton for quite some time now. I think Jinder's a good mid-card heel, and this is the title he should have started with. Instead of hot-shotting him 1 month for the WWE title, this is the title he should have started with. He should have started with the U.S. title and worked his way up. Obviously, we didn't get that, so here we are, and he's kind of dropped down a little bit to the U.S. title. I don't think this was the wrong decision, but yes, Rusev should have gone over. Just thinking about having to see... They could have not fucked this up. They could have not fucked this up. I would have been a lot happier if Randy Orton hadn't won that match last night. But now I'm sitting here thinking of the possibility I have to see that match twice. In a week, mind you. In a fucking week. Because
it's a week after that, isn't it?
Yes.
Nah. You want Jinder to be U.S. champ, right? Huh? That's what you want? You sure? You positive?
As long as he doesn't have to face Randy Orton again. But fuck, we have to get this match twice? Just go.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to possibly go with the original plan for Mania at Backlash. Because there's no way they're letting Orton get his shot twice.
Oh my god. That fucking hurts my head to think about. Okay, I'm moving on. I'm moving on before I even have to think about having to talk about that match twice on here. Oh, man. Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. It's amazing the parallels I saw between Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey this match. Kurt Angle is regarded by everyone as the fastest ever to pick up wrestling. He is the fastest ever. He picked it up in like 6 months, and after 6 months, he was a fucking natural. Ronda Rousey might be picking it up in less than 6 months, and that is fucking insane.
You sure? She's been working for a year.
Yeah, I mean, training-wise, yeah, probably. Well, training for this match, anyway, less than 6 months. Training pro wrestling, yeah, a year. Training for her first match, less than 6 months. I'll give it that. Okay. Ronda is insanely athletic. I mean, she's a former Olympian, just like Kurt. I mean, the parallels are extremely there, and I saw them all over this match. I was going to say Miz Rollins and Balor was the best match on the card, and I said it Sunday after the show, I thought it was. After rethinking it, this was the match that got the most emotion out of me. It was, I thought, perfectly laid out. Of course, they had tons of time at the Performance Center to work it out, but it was perfectly laid out. It made everyone in the match look good. Stephanie even got a perfect DDT in that, like, I was like, wow. But Kurt and Ronda won. Ronda locked in the armbar on Steph. I gave this match 4.5 stars. Meltzer said it was a perfect match, so we might be seeing a 5-star for this match. What are your guys' thoughts on this match?
Well, first draft.
Think about what you just said. Stephanie McMahon... 5-star match.
Yeah, Stephanie McMahon might just get a 5-star match before Daniel Bryan. Put that one through your heads.
For sure, match of the night. For me, match of the night. I loved how they went back and forth with the intergender fighting with Ronda and Triple H. That was awesome. And then, yeah, Ronda did, like, really good. Exceeded my expectations by 1,000. But I think the match would have been as good if it wasn't Stephanie. If she had, like, an actual... Or, like, not like, Charlotte level. Like, say, like, Becky Lynch or someone like that. You think she would have actually done as good? Or...
Yeah. But I think Stephanie gets a lot less credit than she should. This was only her 25th career match. Even back in the day, Stephanie wasn't bad. Like, she's almost a natural at this. Like, she's not ever been terrible. Like, her selling in this match was pretty good. Her bumps that she took for Ronda were pretty good. I've always thought that Stephanie is a bit underrated in the ring, actually. So, obviously with a Becky Lynch or someone, probably could have even been better with them. Because Becky is obviously more athletic than Stephanie. But, I mean, I give Stephanie a lot of credit for this match. She bumped perfectly and she sold the offense perfectly. I thought she did very well this match, honestly. But, Ashton, you have anything? I have stole it. Okay.
Ronda, you fucked me up. I lost it. Oh, okay, here we go. Ronda Rousey, you have stolen my heart. Holy shit. I did not expect you to be that damn good in the ring.
I'll fight you for it.
I'm willing to fight for Ronda. Fuck that. Hell, even Travis got to fight me for her ass now. She is wild.
1v1 me. Come on. Bring it. WrestleMania. I will whoop your ass.
Go.
God bless her. God bless Australia.
WrestleMania probably wouldn't have been as good without Ronda, and that's the absolute truth. She stole my heart, and she smashed my expectations 3x4. Hope she can keep this momentum up and just only get better, because if she does, holy shit. Crazy. This really may be Ronda's division now, if that happens. And Charlotte versus Ronda, fuck, I'm not even mad at that. If that's the main event for next year, they deserve it. But only if Ronda puts in the work, and if only she keeps this route that she's going, fans get her absolute respect. Important to her. And I applaud her on that, because most wrestlers and people coming from other places don't give a fuck about that. But she's a fan herself, and she understands. So if she keeps this up and stays the way that she is and gets better in the ring, out Charlotte versus Ronda can be the main event of WrestleMania 35, period. I have no problem with it. Cool. I'm done. It's fine with me. No argument here. But damn, that was a good match. I didn't expect Triple H to get his ass booked like that, but damn, it was a good match. And Ashley, I will fight you for Ronda any day of the week. I will fight you butt naked in a blizzard for Ronda.
What?
Right? That she had on. Had me sweating up in here. I wasn't even wrestling. Had me sweating in here like, God damn, Ronda ain't like it's that thick. But yeah, it was a pretty good match. Stars, that is crazy. If they get 5 stars, that's absolutely crazy. I'm sorry. That shows you how good Ronda is. If they get 5 stars, that's crazy. All right, I'm done. You want to say make your peace, Ashley?
I'll still fight you.
Hi. But whatever. I have died and ascended to the afterlife. Ashley, do you have anything to add?
Why are you dying? I'm the one butt naked wrestling Ashton in the snow.
Nah, I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm done.
Match of the night. As you said, Steph's always been underrated. She's always been outshined, but She's not bad. She's not bad at all. She's one of my favorites. Yep, she took it like a champ.
Oh, man.
She surely did. I know she was hurt after that match.
One, yeah, she did. The one spot that didn't make sense, but was actually the best spot of the fucking match at the same time, was that pedigree where all of a sudden Triple H decided, I'm going to powerbomb you, and then that got turned into the Hurricanrana armbar. Like, it made no sense for Triple H to all of a sudden decide, oh, I'm just going to powerbomb her, but yeah.
Hey, so I wasn't the only one confused by that, because I could have swore a pedigree was supposed to go down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could have seen it if he like, brought her arms up, and all of a sudden she took that momentum, but all of a sudden he dropped the arms and then picked her up. I was like, what the fuck? And then she did the Hurricanrana, and I screamed a little bit, and then...
I so want to see that so bad. I didn't even go, ah!
Yeah, pretty much. That was pretty much my reaction. Not gonna lie.
No, I was the most. I was so envious of Triple H at that time. You don't understand. I was the most envious son of a bitch at that moment because I was like, "Oh fuck!" What I wish to be in that moment right then and there.
Fighting butt naked in the snow for her, or what?
No, no, no.
Ronda Rousey, hell of a woman.
Anything else you'd like to add before I ascend back down to earth here?
Just
I love Rousey. Okay. Fuck you, Ashton. Let's go.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Let's move on before he fights me again.
God damn it, I'm letting her have it this time. Move on.
Triple threat take.
You're fired.
Oh, fuck.
Ow. That's bullshit.
Man, at least say that to Travis so I can laugh.
Travis, you know your place.
Travis, I want you to know that me and Ashley were discussing your firing Sunday night. It's okay, though.
Wait, Ashley, over Ronda? Over Ronda? That's crazy. All right, that is cool.
Triple threat match for the SmackDown.
And for putting the thought of you butt naked in the snow. Alright? Alright?
Alright. Yeah,
triple threat match for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. The Usos defended their championships for the first time on the main card against the New Day and the Bludgeon Brothers. I thought it was a good match. It just suffered from following the best match on the card. Bludgeon Brothers won the SmackDown Tag titles as they should. They've been insanely dominant over the past month, and they've been very good while being insanely dominant. So, yeah. Any thoughts on this match that don't involve fighting or snow or nakedness or anything?
For me,
oh, Travis, you're alive.
Barely.
Oh, Travis, you're fired too. Love Ashley and Matt.
Hey, yo! Oh, she cleaned her house today. Wow. Okay.
It's the Matt and Ashley show now.
I'm just gonna mute these two, and it's just gonna be us two the rest of the show.
You better not do that.
Anyway, for me, it was that promise. So I thought it was gonna be a really good match. It had potential to be a good match. I just didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it.
Because I thought it was gonna be a fucking slaughter, but it ended up being semi-competitive, but not semi-competitive. So it kind of, I just wanted to see the Bludgeon Brothers do what they did at Fastlane, because if you dominate those two teams like that, the same in a match, but I guess they wanted to give them a little bit more respect, so I did. But like, damn, it was kind of background noise. I was too invested in the chat at that point.
Fair. Daniel Bryan returns to the ring for the first time in 3 years, teaming with Shane McMahon to take on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Good match, not great. Daniel Bryan, when he got in, obviously was fantastic, as Daniel Bryan always is, even with 3 years off. They did the stretcher spot to start the show. I understand why, to start the match, and I understand why they did it. They tried to build the mystique of Daniel Bryan, and, oh, is he actually going to wrestle this match? And, oh, how long is it going to be until Daniel Bryan's on the apron? I understand it, but you're just one match removed from the match of the night, and they're really waiting for Daniel Bryan's return. You can't do that. I understand why they did it, but it deflated the match a little, in my opinion. So that when Daniel did get in, I was excited, but I wasn't as excited as I should have been. But
his reaction, like the reaction to the crowd, was a bit underwhelming for me. I thought they would be absolutely like lava hot, but they really weren't.
Yeah,
they were hot.
They
weren't like
when he first came out. It wasn't near 30 at all.
Nowhere near 30.
He got a really good reaction on Tuesday, so I was happy to see that. When Daniel did get in, it turned into a really good match. He hit the running knee on Sammy into the Yes Lock. Sami Zayn tapped out, and that was it. Daniel Bryan wins with the Yes Lock, just like I thought he would after 3 years off. And Shane McMahon got hit in the diverticulitis a bunch of times and still survived. So there you go. Any thoughts on
this? Man, you are one crazy son of a bitch, just letting you know that.
There was one spot in the match where Daniel did that missile drop kick off the top rope and immediately held his head, and I was like, oh, fuck, here we go. Here's another 5 years down the drain. And then he did the kip up. I was like, oh. So that was my thought during the match. He also did it last night in that match against AJ. Like, AJ reversed the top rope back superplex into that crossbody, and his legs, like his knees, landed right on Daniel's face. I was like, motherfucker, why does he keep dying?
I think it's just that's what you have in your head now when it comes to Daniel Bryan. You think every bump is going to be his last, which is sad. Give him more credit. If he fought back, then he should be okay to go.
Yep. I think a lot of people are going to be scared when Daniel Bryan takes bumps, but yeah. Any other thoughts on this match?
Yeah, it was just a match. To me, I really didn't care for it. I wanted to, but to me, it was just so, with the start of it, with them taking Daniel out, took away from the match for me.
Yeah, it did for me, too.
Pain working already hurt, nearly dead. Like, every time he took a bump, he was looked like he was going to die. Like, it just took away from the match for me. So.
Yeah. Having the dude working the length of the match that was just in the hospital for a hernia and diverticulitis 2 weeks ago isn't the smartest decision they've ever made. He did his coast to coast. He got his shit in, but you could tell he was hurting, man. Like, I'm surprised Shane didn't die.
He's a McMahon, so pain is like unnecessary to him. Like, he doesn't care for me.
Fair enough.
I think bitches, so.
Let's talk this match, The Undertaker versus John Cena. The Undertaker did return. John Cena came out, was informed by RF that The Undertaker was in fact not there, went to leave the ring. Elias came out to 70,000 boos. John Cena did his five moves of doom on Elias, got him out of the ring, obviously looked at depressed about it, got all the way up the ramp before the arena went dark. Undertaker's clothes were laying in the ring. A big flash of lightning and fire appeared, and they were gone from the ring and on the Undertaker's body as he returned. It was the best way to do this while keeping it in character. Undertaker returned for a 2 minute and 55 second match against John Cena, got all his stuff in, did old school, was running just like Undertaker was 6 years ago. He looked really good with the hip replacement, just one very bad big boot that completely missed John, but it's whatever. Tombstone Piledriver, victory. the dream match between The Undertaker and John Cena went 2 minutes and 55 seconds. Thoughts on this match?
Even though it was a really short match, I kind of enjoyed it. It also made, like, the ending Tombstone and stuff, it made a meme that I have seen on so many different pages. It's hilarious. But it's not very PG, so I'm not going to mention it.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, he knows.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the podcast isn't PG anymore because of Ashton.
True.
You just coming for me this podcast. God damn. Bitch, she said it. Fuck it. Excuse me. So, I thought the shit was hilarious because... Okay, think about it in kayfabe. All this shit. For about 6 weeks. No, more than that. Around a month and a half. Yeah, that's 6 weeks. I'm retarded. Don't say anything. But you talk all this shit. You talk all this shit. You get your ass kicked in under 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Was dying when that man
did hit someone that say no. 3 minutes. I should play the
three. Don't go there.
I should play the 3 minute
warning. What the fuck theme. Does that mean?
The 3 minute warning theme. I was gonna play it, but I don't have it up, so continue.
Anyways, no ass kicked in under 3 minutes, and then you're supposedly Super Cena, and you done after one tombstone. Hilarious.
Cena forgot to kick out at 2.
Got to kick out at 2. I thought it was a mistake, deadass, at
his,
first.
His robot mechanism failed to function. Please forgive him.
Hold up. Is that for real? Is that the end?
What?
Up and his music plays, and I'm like, holy shit, it's over. Like, that was... Honestly... It's not on the same level, but that was damn near up there like a shock with the streak. Because Super Cena doesn't just get kicked his ass kicked in 3 minutes. Even Brock Lesnar didn't do that. So I thought it was hilarious. Yeah, because Super Cena is no more. Undertaker rules, bitches. And if he main events another Mania, Matthew, then he's going to main event another WrestleMania. Or if he wants to get another world title reign, he's going to get it. So, you can sit your ass back and shut up.
Neither of those.
Because if it happens, it happens.
Neither of those need to happen. But, yeah, it was a fun match. I really enjoyed it for what it was. Obviously not the Undertaker-Cena dream match that could have happened 5 years ago with the streak intact and everyone throwing trash at Cena while everyone wonders if he breaks the streak. But for what it is, with 53-year-old Undertaker and 41-year-old John Cena... It was very entertaining at a very good angle and very fun to watch.
He deserves a Mania main event, but okay.
No. Raw Women's Championship. Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax. Thank God this reign is over, is all I gotta say. I went in here with the idea that Nia Jax was going to destroy Alexa Bliss in 3 minutes or less.
Sorry.
I'm sorry I hurt you, but it had to be done.
It's your breath. It like melts through the microphone.
Yeah. Shut your mouth. Okay, Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax for the Raw Women's Championship. This went longer than it needed to. But the right result happened where Nia Jax crushed Alexa with a Samoan drop off the second rope and ended that fucking disastrous reign. Thank God. Any other thoughts about Bliss versus Jax?
It's really emotional to me. Not to me, but it just seemed... It was more emotional than I thought it would be.
Honestly, Nia should have squashed her last like a bug, but yeah, they wanted to make her look crafty. Nia should have whooped her ass. I mean, she should have beat her ass hood style. Like, you see in the hood, like, somebody get jumped, That's what Nia should have did. And also, Nia's attire was very revealing.
Very
revealing. Holy shit. Man, you got confidence. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with it. You look good, but shit. Like, that, you can see them, boom, right there. But I didn't think she needed to do the Samoan drop off the second rope for Envy and storyline, but I'm pretty sure she can't kick out of a normal one, so...
If Alexa would have kicked out of that small drop, I would have shut my TV off right there. In all honesty, I couldn't have done it.
I want to ask you something. What if she knocked Nia out with her elbow? What would you have done?
I just threw my glasses down because that made me angry.
It would have canceled his network, and me and Ashley would have been screwed out of watching the WrestleMania.
Oh, God. How would you feel if that happened?
I'm moving on before I get angry.
Wait, hold on. Ashley has to say something.
Ashley, please, before I get angry.
No, you nailed it. Let's go. And thank fuck that rain is over.
Whew. Yeah, agreed on all fronts. Oh, fuck that elbow. Mm-mm. WWE Championship match, AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. It was good, but it was very disappointing. I have the same sentiment for Kenny versus Cody, so they're not alone in that regard. Styles won with the Styles Clash. It was a very good counter for the Styles Clash. Just a roll through into the Styles Clash and 1-2-3, and... that was that. I'm happy Styles got a prominent retain at WrestleMania. That really kind of... He's a big guy in Vince's eyes, and I'm glad he got that opportunity. And I was really shocked at the finish until 2 minutes after the match, when the leader of chaos in New Japan came back to my heart and reminded me why I fell in love with this dude. Shinsuke Nakamura low-blowed AJ Styles, just kicked him repeatedly in the fucking ear, shoved him to the outside, and Kinshasa'd him on the outside. God bless heel Shinsuke Nakamura, is all I gotta say. Thoughts about this match?
Go ahead, Trav, because I got some shit to say about this match.
I liked it, but as you said, it was going to be the match of the night, dream match. It was supposed to be a 5-star match of the night. Like, it just wasn't for me.
Ashley, if you have anything to say, I don't know.
It was so underwhelming. So underwhelming.
I'm just waiting for Ashton's words here. I know they're going to be words of wisdom, so I'm waiting with eager ears.
Yeah, I'm just keeping it short and sweet so we can hurry up and get to it.
Okay. Supposed to be the outgoing slobber knocker, absolute must-see match. Everybody wanted it. Everybody wanted to be the main event.
Can I just say one thing? I'm really glad this match didn't main event. Not that Lesnar and Reigns was a barn burner by any means, but...
I'm glad it wasn't a main event also, because the way it turned out, I'd have been pissed. Yep. So, everybody wanted this to be the main event. Like, everybody was fighting for this, even though we knew Brock versus Roman was going to be it. But everybody was fighting for it. Every hardcore fan, damn near every mainstream fan. Everybody wanted this match. What the fuck that was at Mania? Got to you. Maybe the pressure of everybody wanting a 5-star classic, but you know, out there, that can put some motherfucking pressure on you. You can have some gray hairs by the end of the WrestleMania week. Cool, I get that. In the fuck was that? That was nowhere near any match before. That was nowhere. That's not even top 10. That's not even top 50. In any of their careers, what happened at WrestleMania? These two guys are absolute masters of their craft. They should have got more time, first off. That's the truth. They should have got more time than what the fuck they got. Sure, whatever time they had, they did whatever they could. I can understand that. They should have got more time. Second off, this is Shinsuke fucking Nakamura and AJ motherfucking Styles. These two guys have literally been waiting for this moment, and you give him the shit opportunity that they got? Sit here and say AJ and Nakamura made up that whole match on their own. There's no way. Because they made up the Wrestle Kingdom match mostly on their own, and I don't know about you guys, but that's a damn classic. That's exactly what we expected. But no, we got whatever the fuck that was at Mania. It wasn't even any drama. It was just matches, move after move, kick out, cool kick out, or whatever the fuck the finish was. I didn't even watch the finish. Like, I was pissed, because Danny Mac got me. I was sitting here on the chat, and I'm looking. And I'm sitting there like, wow. It's AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura. On my phone watching this shit. I'm not supposed to be not caring about this match. I'm supposed to be glued to the TV, watching every move, every kick, every knee to the back of the head, everything. But no. And my damn phone, then the dream match that everybody in the fucking world wanted. And it's not really a dream match, because it already fucking happened, but obviously they went with that. So, whatever. Match. And I mean, absolutely broke my heart. I mean, the main event, I was sitting here with Matt arguing, this should be the main event. Shit. So, Hill Nakamura better pay off. So far, he's a fucking genius. Me speak no English was probably the funniest shit on SmackDown last night. That was hilarious. So, it better fucking pay off, because I was pissed. I was so pissed. Totally pissed. Because that match should have been absolutely 5 stars. But you let a rookie and take match of the night over AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm done. Now we can talk about whatever the fuck the next match was, because... Oh, God.
So
the next match, that was another good one, wasn't it?
Hey. Michaels and Taker.
So I just want to address this here first. Liv Morgan has since deleted this, but she has posted on her Instagram the segments for the NXT tapings tonight. As it looks right now, as I'm looking at this, Ricochet and Velveteen Dream will be feuding. And it looks like, to me, Aleister Black, Tommaso Ciampa, and Johnny Gargano will be the NXT Championship match in Chicago. With the way this looks set up. Just throwing that out there. That's just what I'm getting off of this piece of paper. Again, it's off her story. She meant to send this as a DM and posted it on her story instead, and someone screen grabbed it, but this is what I'm gathering from this sheet of paper. So if we do get Black versus Gargano versus Ciampa, holy fuck, that match will be insane. But I digress. Back to Styles and Nakamura. I agree with a lot of points Ashton just said. I just want to throw a few things out there that I think contributed to this match. One, AJ Styles is still working hurt. It can't be that bad. He retained the title, but I know he's still hurt. Two, ever since the takeover where Nakamura debuted against Zayn, it seems like he's been coasting a bit. And Nakamura has been known for coasting. He did coast in New Japan a lot, but when it came to a big match, he put it on. But now he's not putting it on in big matches anymore. And there has been some rumors that Nakamura came over for the paycheck and to get a WrestleMania in and to be in WWE for a while and travel. So if the rumors are true that Nakamura is coasting, that explains a bit more about this match. Third, with Nakamura turning heel, maybe they were holding back a bit. Maybe we do get a better match at Backlash for the title. The way it was set up, it looks like it's going to be AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura versus Daniel Bryan at Backlash. And if that doesn't scream fucking dream match to you, I don't know what does. But this screamed dream match too. And we got this. So I don't know. But I think there's a lot of factors that ended up going into why this match was as underwhelming as it did. I don't think all of them lie on Vince, but I do think Vince was one of them. I do think Styles and Nakamura are one of them. But yeah, that's my feeling on this match. Cesaro and Sheamus defended their Raw Tag Team title against Braun Strowman and a mystery partner. His mystery partner came from the crowd. He was the 10-year-old son of Monday Night Raw referee John Cohn. His name is Nicholas Cohn. Nicholas is now the youngest champion in WWE history. Braun Strowman defeated Cesaro and Sheamus. Braun Strowman and Nicholas were the Raw Tag Team Champions.
Oh, God.
Yeah, same.
That kid has so much clout on the playground now, it's crazy. Like, he's literally, like, he's the godfather of his school now. Like, you can't... Who the hell is going to try to fight a Raw Tag Team Champion? Like, who finna mess with Nicholas now? Who bad enough to do that?
Maxwell.
Tommaso Ciampa.
Maxwell.
Fucking ways. That kid got a moment that most people would dream about at the age of 10. That was absolutely... It was cool from a kid standpoint. That was cool. Anybody would have loved to be in that position. Absolutely. Serious. So, good kid. I mean, the smarks will say whatever the fuck they want, but I think it was cool. Excuse me. Lord have mercy. But I think it was cool.
Yeah, I agree. Well.
Yeah,
if anyone else has anything, Dan.
All right. I have a lot of thoughts about it. To, like, have a moment that the least of us wondering who his partner was going to be and the rumors of it being, like, a return, and it ended up being a 10-year-old kid out of the audience was a little underwhelming for me.
Yeah, that's fair. Well... Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns main evented this show. And in the fashion of wrestling is the most unpredictable thing on this fucking planet, in a show where everyone and their fucking mother predicted Roman Reigns to win and get his coronation and defeat Brock Lesnar for the Universal title, of course Brock Lesnar walked out of this show as champion. 6 F5s, a hard way elbow. Someone's echoing, by the way. But a hard way elbow that cut Reigns open. And I liked the match a lot more than some other people did. But it wasn't a Mania main event, and neither was Styles versus Nakamura. Yeah, discuss Lesnar and Reigns. Because I'm very interested to hear your viewpoints.
110% happy with the outcome.
You really hate Roman Reigns, Jesus Christ.
A robot.
Something's up with your mic, Ashton. I don't know what happened here, but...
Anyway, I'm going to continue. Hear myself.
You're fine, Travis.
Anyway, liked the match, surprisingly. Again, I kind of didn't want to watch it because, you know, I hate Roman. I am so glad that he lost. Granted, I figured after the match that they gave up on him. Now I see that he's probably going to win at the Greatest Royal Rumble, and it really makes me sad. But I really don't care that Brock Lesnar is part-time champion. Like, the Universal title since his debut, I just didn't like it. Like, the name of it is just stupid. It's not going to be prestigious like the WWE title, so, like, I don't really care. I think the Raw has other titles that make the show more entertaining than the Universal title story ever has, so I'm fine with it.
Ashton? Oh, you're still... I don't know what happened to your mic, man. In the meantime, Ashley, do you have any thoughts? If you're still around.
I put a voodoo spell on Ashton's mic, so now he can't talk trash to me. No, I have nothing. I can't. Nope.
Yeah, that... Reigns should have won. I'm adamant in thinking that. Now that I see he's going to win in 3 weeks, it's whatever. But I think it was Reigns' time. I think it was time to get it over with. I think it's time for Brock to go away now that he's re-signed. It's not like he's putting on classic matches. It's not like even the Styles thing was underwhelming. In its own way. It was still a good match, but just... I was a huge fan of Brock 2 years ago, and now I couldn't care less. Sunday night was the way to pull the trigger on this. It's fine that they're going to go to Saudi Arabia and do it. It's fine that Reigns doesn't have to pin Lesnar. He can just escape the steel cage. It's whatever. It's whatever. It's a glorified house show. Who really gives a shit? But... this really should have been done Sunday night, and then do the rematch in Saudi Arabia, and then have Roman escape the cage. You don't have to pin him. You can just have him escape the cage, and that's that. We don't have to have a rematch after that. I understand the Roman hate, I really do. 6 F5s was a ridiculous amount to kick out of. This match was somehow put together by someone left. This match was somehow put together by Pat Patterson, which is very hard for me to believe because Patterson has done a great job, especially Royal Rumble wise. But this was not Pat Patterson's best work. Vince and Roman and Brock and Paul and. We're the only one, and Pat, were the only ones that knew about the finish until the middle of the match when the ref was told to just count three. And that was that, as Brock retained the title. I expected a match on the caliber of 31. I didn't get that match, and that sucks, because I thought these two could have done a lot better. But the way this match was produced, it didn't allow for that. And it sucks, but it is what it is. I just think that Roman should have won here. Got the rematch in Saudi Arabia. Beat Brock there by escaping the cage, and then we can be done with this bullshit. But, Travis, to your point, I understand your... I understand. Yeah, I agree that the Universal title is never going to be as prestigious, but it's still the main title on Monday Night Raw, and this shit needs to get over with for me. So, that's just my thoughts. Ashton, you live? Yeah, your mic's better now.
Everybody said exactly what we needed to say. Obviously, it was underwhelming, just as much as AJ and Nakamura. It wasn't a main event Mania match. It shouldn't have been. I will say this, the only positive that they got out of this was a shock. Yes, true. It was a big-ass shock to retain the title. UFC. I don't know how long his deal is. I really don't care. You know, big matches with singles competitors stays away from the titles. I really think that shot of Roman just bleeding is very underrated. Digital designer, the way I am, I've been trying to find the perfect resolution for that picture because that shot is fucking amazing. And how good that shot is. And that should really help Roman. It should really boost him because that's on some Stone Cold 13 type shit. Like, he's literally bleeding in Brock's face telling him, bring your ass home. And I thought that was a pretty cool spot. I'm not going to lie. And I didn't even like the match. At that moment, I was like, holy shit. If he wins this in the condition that he's in. Yeah. Travis, I don't like Roman Reigns. But I'd rather deal with the lesser evil than Brock. Because I'm done with Brock. I mean, sure, he's a bad man, whatever. Bullshit. Like, the shit he pulled after Mania in the back. I want the WWE to be done with the guy. But also, if we get that, we don't get Paul Heyman. So, I think it's a fucked up situation. They put themselves in this situation. They booked themselves into this corner. They're trying to find a way out, and they should have just been out of that situation a long time ago, but whatever.
Completely.
So that's how.
Yeah. Completely agreed. It's just the way they set this match up was for Roman to win, and then he didn't, and it's a swerve for the sake of a swerve, and I don't like swerves for the sake of a swerve, so.
Main event of WrestleMania. Okay, Seth Rollins was a swerve. But that was a good-ass swerve. This is just...
At least it's tied in, though, with Money in the Bank. I mean, theoretically. I mean, this is just... And that was a good swerve, yeah. But it's a swerve with a purpose. This is just... Because Rollins went on to hold the title forever. It's just that this was just prolonging something for 3 weeks. Yeah, so, I don't know. I'm just tired of Brock as champion, I really am. Ashley had to leave, so we thank her for joining us, for her input on WrestleMania. We're not going to talk about Raw and SmackDown too long. We've already gone about an hour and a half here, so we'll just talk about the debuts and the matches. Nia Jax debuted Ember Moon as her partner against Alexa Bliss and Mickey James on Raw. Ember Moon hit... Alexa Bliss with the Eclipse for the victory, so Ember Moon joins the Raw Women's roster. Before that, Ronda Rousey once again locks Stephanie McMahon in the armbar. Stephanie was getting major heat, and Ronda got a major pop, so they're doing something right. No Way Jose debuted on Raw. I really like No Way Jose. I really do. Like, I feel like he's not just another Adam Rose, even though he's gonna be, but... I really like his wind-up knockout punch that he's used on NXT before, and he used it on this jobber named John Skyler here. So Jose is now 1-0 on the main roster. Braun and Nicholas relinquished the Raw Tag Team titles as Nicholas is in the fourth grade. So Kurt made a tag team tournament. The Revival versus the Club, Anderson and Gallows, was the first round matchup. Carl Anderson got hit with the Shatter Machine, and the Revival moves on. Mandy Rose took on Sasha Banks, and Mandy Rose knocked Sasha Banks to the mat for a three count with a knee to a head. And after the match, Paige announced her retirement from the main roster due to neck injuries. So we'll talk about Paige here in a second. Slater and Rhino come out and say they aren't in the tag team tournament, but they do want to face a tag team, and that's when the Authors of Pain debut with Paul Ellering. Heath Slater got hit with the Last Chapter victory for the Authors of Pain, who left Paul Ellering at ringside after the match. Paul doesn't want to do touring anymore, or he doesn't want to do the main roster touring, so that was the reasoning behind that. Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt versus Titus Worldwide in another first-round tag team tournament match. Wyatt gave a sister Abigail to Matt Hardy's Twist of Fate for the victory, so it'll be Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt versus The Revival next week. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn came to Kurt Angle and asked for a job, and Kurt said their tag team division is full, but TNA is hiring, which got a pop out of everyone in the crowd, everyone on the internet, and everyone that is breathing air. But he did give Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn a match against each other, and the winner would get a Raw contract. The match was as good as a Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn match always is. Neither could answer the 10 count, and they left a little cliffhanger for the Owens and Zayn story. Jeff Hardy returned, and six-man tag team action main event, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Jeff Hardy took on The Miz and The Mizrash. Seth Rollins defeated The Miz with the curb stomp, and Rollins, Balor, and Hardy won to end the Raw after WrestleMania. SmackDown Live kicked off with Paige being announced as the new SmackDown General Manager. I really didn't expect that one, by the way, so good shock there to start SmackDown. The Usos took on The New Day to determine the new number one contender for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship at the Greatest Royal Rumble. This was an amazing match. This is actually now my second favorite match in the New Day Usos rivalry behind the Hell in a Cell match. This was fucking fantastic. They got us. Xavier Woods and Big E were fantastic. Jimmy Uso was the one in the ring who did most of the spots. He was fantastic. Jey Uso defeats Xavier Woods with the diving splash. It'll be the Usos versus the Bludgeon Brothers at the Greatest Royal Rumble. Naomi, the newest winner of the Women's Battle Royal, took on Natalya. Split-legged moonsault to Natalya. 7-minute match. That was that. The Iconic Duo debuted. They are now known as the Iconics. They are not the Iconic Duo anymore. The Iconic Duo is trademarked by clothing companies, and they can't trademark that, so they changed it to the Iconics. It's probably for the best, since the Iconic Duo and the new breast enhancements of Peyton Royce and Billie Kay would lead to Iconic Duo chants. So, yeah.
Very iconic.
Yes, very iconic. Oh, I forgot Bobby Lashley. Thank you, Travis. Bobby Lashley returned and took out Elias. Cool to see Bobby Lashley back. He'll probably be inserted right into the Raw main event. He's improved tenfold since leaving WWE. He was great in TNA. Had some great matches with Drew Galloway and with EC3. So he'll be a welcome sight. So after the Iconics took out Charlotte, Carmella sadly cashed in her women's Money in the Bank contract. With the worst super kick I've ever seen in my entire life. The shit missed by like 3 feet, but Charlotte sold it like the champ she is, but no longer was, as Carmella is now the new SmackDown Women's Champion. 7-second match. Hopefully that's the length of the match when Charlotte wins the title back. Randy Orton versus Bobby Roode versus Rusev in a triple threat number one contenders match for Backlash and the Greatest Royal Rumble, I guess. Randy Orton defeated Bobby Roode with an RKO. Rusev was thrown to the outside. So it's Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal again. Paige made an amazing main event of Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles for this show. The match only went 12 minutes and 40 seconds, but it felt like it went 20 minutes. It was a fantastic match for being 12 minutes and 40 seconds. Chaos Shinsuke was back, the man who said, "I speak in no English," earlier in the show when asked to defend his actions on AJ on Sunday night. Shinsuke went and Kinshasa'd Daniel Bryan, Kinshasa'd AJ Styles, and low-blowed AJ Styles 3 times. So, in case you haven't gotten the memo, Shinsuke is now a heel. So that was SmackDown Live. SmackDown was a really good show. You don't hear me say that often, but it was. 205 Live, Kalisto and Akira Tozawa had a really good match. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Kalisto won with the Salida del Sol. Mark Andrews and Drew Gulak had a good match. Crowd really wasn't into it. Drew Gulak won with the Dragon Sleeper. Brian Kendrick is back. And the main event was Drake Maverick coming out to celebrate with Cedric Alexander. Mustafa Ali came out and gave Cedric a hug. Buddy Murphy came out. hit the whale's hunt on Cedric Alexander from behind and turned heel. So there's another heel turn. Buddy Murphy versus Cedric Alexander looks to be the next program for the Cruiserweight Championship. I mean, he was a face. I mean, he kind of, the vignettes they did for him, cutting weight and all that, I thought he was a face, but he was a heel in NXT with Wesley Blake, but he's a natural.
Hey, what is this move called?
It's called, I don't know if they're calling it the Whale's Hunt or Murphy's Law. I'm calling it Murphy's Law because it's a lot better name, but.
And I'm calling it too.
Murphy's Law is a lot better name, but it was called the Whale Hunt by the dude who invented it, Noah.
Bad that whenever I hear Whale Hunt, I think about the movie Norbit and the Chinese guy, like, just throwing the ram spear into Rasputia's ass.
Yes. So fam, pause. Okay. With that note, we're going to end the show. So, unless any of you two have anything else to add, Ashley again left early.
Good luck, buddy. You gonna fucking need it, cause your ass literally finna get buried.
Oh yeah, Rusev versus The Undertaker made for the greatest Royal Rumble event in a casket match. Good luck, Rusev. Travis, do you have anything to add?
No, I don't have any more comments.
And that's it for the 11th episode of BTC Top Rope Talk. For me, Matt, for Travis, and for Ashton, and for Ashley, and for Aaron, who is gone for the 40th time. We thank you all for listening to the WrestleMania review, WrestleMania weekend review. We'll see you next week at some point after the Superstar Shakeup. So we'll talk about who moved where. I would have done predictions on this show, but it just got to be too long. So we'll talk about who moves where next week. Thank you guys for listening, and thank you for liking the page. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week.